Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. We will start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for keeping us dry out here, especially in the Midwest where the rains just keep coming. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are in need of healings, be it spiritual or physical. We have many that we love that are very sick in both ways, some in both ways at the same time too. And so we lift them up to you, Father, that your healing hand comes upon them before it's too late. Please bless us with your presence this day as you promised to do every time we gather. Please change the showbread on this Sabbath as you have been doing for 6,000 years each week. And thank you also for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. Let it fall abundantly upon your Son's bride. And thank you so much for giving us eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that desire to make you smile and giving us opportunities to share with those you send our way. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, we are on question number 15, and I'm actually contemplating putting this on the Big Pharma page on my website, which I might touch on in a bit here in a minute, but the question is, in what vivid terms is the moral fall of Babylon described? And the answer is Revelation 18, verse 2. Thank you, Brother Garn. Wait, hold on, let me get this microphone set. Okay. And it says in Revelation 18, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know, first and foremost, I want to touch on the prophesied reality of how evil the Roman Catholic Church really is. And no, I'm not going to be going on for hours and hours, even though I can go on for weeks. But that would take, you know, because it would literally take years just to outline it. And even as we discuss it, the Vatican will continue to do things that we'll add to the discussion. And this is why the website is so huge. I mean, they just never end. They constantly supply fodder in our own canons of truth to show the people just how accurate Christian prophecy is and how trampled underfoot it is in the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, the demonic decadence spewing from Rome is just amazing. It just never stops, with every pope, and especially this one being a Jesuit pope. And so, it has fallen, and it has fallen big time. But the study goes on to say that this angel declares that spiritualism has infiltrated modern churches. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And, you know, Revelation 18, verse 23. And so again, as I did in the previous question last week, I disagree partly in the statement of the author of the study because we know what the word sorcery means today. I do believe he believes, as we do, to his mentioning the sorceries with spiritualism, but he should have gone into a little bit more detail because sorcery, yeah, it can be, like in today's world, they go so far as to gild the lily like they do on a regular basis, and so instead of calling it I guess like many of you know, I delved in the occult before I was a Christian when I was young, and I knew people that would use these potions and whatnot or claim to have these powers with these potions, And, you know, and you hear the songs like in the 60s, Love Potion Number 9 and all this other stuff. And so it's been in society for eons. I mean, it's just always been, and I say eons because, you know, the pagans were there even in Old Testament times messing with potions. I mean, look at the witch at Endor, right? And so she, like any other witch, is going to use drugs to create her sorcery. And so it's not just the spiritualism, but the end result is going to be the same, you know, because the adverse use of drugs, and there is no good use of drugs, but there are some healing type drugs, of course, yes, we know about, but they're the overwhelming majority should never be introduced into the human system, and natural methods work permanently. They absolutely and completely heal to the point you don't have to keep coming back to keep putting in drugs. But as we understand it and have learned over the centuries, and well, actually in the last few decades, when the use of sorcery has blossomed, if you will, into a global problem, some of these drugs can prevent death. And so it is a good idea, if you're on death's door, to use that which the AMA offers. But the minute you get out of death's, you know, realm, you know, get off the drugs. And, I mean, take, for example, insulin. That is a man-made drug. But you can get off insulin. But they won't tell you that because they will lose a customer. And so, but there's plenty of people on the YouTube, on and offline, that have shown that, I think it was the average was 4 days. If you just ate all raw for 4 days, if all of a sudden you were diagnosed with diabetes, let's say, and if you just ate raw for 4 days, your system would level out with the sugar situation. And I would say vegetables, because, you know, putting in the, I don't know about putting in the fruit, but I know these people that did this did it with, like, wheatgrass juice and, you know, just vegetables. And they were totally healed. And, of course, if you go back to snacking on candy bars and other garbage like that, you're just going to go back to where you were before. So, but anyway, it is a half-truth, like what the author of the study is saying in regards to spiritualism connected with sorcery. So it is half-true in that when the people's minds are manipulated by the so-called legalized drugs of today, which are killing many more people than the street stuff does, but yet they continue to sell that stuff because they've got the money. They got the government behind them. So it's nothing more than a watered-down version of LSD and other mind-altering drugs that they have, what some claim to be very spiritual trips. I knew a man years ago who told me when he took LSD, he met Jesus, literally. And spoke with him for hours on end. This guy was, his stage name was, Mad Dog Mike Mataloni. He was a DJ, and, I was doing telemarketing back then, and, he was doing it as he was starting off his career. And so he told me about it, and I, of course, had a nice long discussion with him in regards to, this is when I was a baby Christian, and I shared with him how, it wasn't Jesus he was talking to, so praise God he understood it. Because he also understood, you know, why would Jesus need a mind-altering drug to even talk to you, you know. But we're not going to go in the same realm that Benny Hinn does that says Jesus is appearing all over the place because he did for Paul after his resurrection. No, no, no. The Bible prophecy is clear that the people that say they see Jesus and talk to him today are all false prophets. So after a few Bible verses and some shocking info on demonic activity that I had some experience in, before meeting Christ, I was able to convince him that it wasn't Jesus at all in that hallucination, because that's really all it was. But just so you know, the well-known government pawn, Roman Catholic psychologist Timothy Leary, yes, he was Roman Catholic, he was known for his psychedelic therapy in the 70s and the 80s. And he was also an employee of the Vatican-spawned Harvard University, which in and of itself speaks volumes onto his demonic calling regarding the prophecy in Revelation 18, verse 23. And for those that doubt Rome and Harvard work as one to this day, do a little research into the Vatican-Rockefeller/Standard Oil connection of the 1880s. and how they work together to prevent alternate fuel sources that could replace the use of crude oil today. That juggernaut crushed all competition in that industry, and I'm sure you'll be shocked if you look into this. And what amazes me is because of the dumbing down of America, they have legalized marijuana now, but back then they made it illegal because they knew if you cultivate marijuana in your backyard, you can make fuel to run your cars. As a matter of fact, the very first car Ford ever made ran on hemp oil. But they couldn't regulate that because anybody can grow it in their backyard. So they made it illegal. You know, it's just politics. They just made something that was natural and, you know, made it illegal. Now, it was good for making rope. It was good for making clothing. You can even make plastic out of hemp oil today that will biodegrade within, you know, 1 or 2 years in sunshine. Like if somebody throws a plastic bottle out their window when they get done drinking their drink driving down the road, that bottle will be gone in a year or two just from sunlight melting it in the rain. But no, they use oil-based plastics. That has, what, a half-life of 30,000 years? And so they've destroyed the economy. They destroyed the environment just for the sake of making a dollar. And it was all based on, you know, Vatican connections who, like I was stating a minute ago, are very much involved in the pharmaceutical industry. Even though this is common knowledge among historians regarding Harvard and Rome, most of them don't read their Bibles, and so many miss the connection here regarding Leary's research at Harvard and the Vatican's prophesied role in all of this. So let's quickly look at Revelation 18, verse 23, where it says, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." So the word sorcery here comes from Strong's number 5331, or the word pharmakia, which defined as both sorcery and witchcraft. They actually use those terms. And I have many items online showing how the Vatican's connection with witchcraft, as well as some of the pictures. I mean, like I said, I used to be involved in the occult, and so maybe that's what lured me there, is because some of the stuff I saw that got me out of Catholicism was some of the stuff I saw in the occult was being used on Vatican altars. It's really amazing, like especially during Lenten season where they got the cross up in front of the altar with the purple silk hanging from it. If you look at the high priest of, like say, a witch's coven, when they do a sacrifice, they'll have a T, the letter T, from the midst of the word witch, and which they actually make posters and everything like that, with the whole word witch in there, but the letter T has the purple sash on it, which will actually, it's purple, and when it hits the altar, it turns blood red. And, or actually, it is scarlet. That's right, it is scarlet. Purple is for Lenten season, for the pagan. So, but the scarlet color, that's right, it's red when they do the Easter thing, and they had the letter T there for Good Friday. And so, they do the same thing in the witches. I actually have a And I couldn't find a better photo, and that's why in one of my, I think it's in the Antichrist video, I show that graphic I found in an old occult book. I found a copy of it online. I don't have those books. I won't hold on to those. I don't have them in my life. But there, you can get a hold of them online, and they had the picture in there, but it's a real campy picture and garbage, handwritten, you know, or hand-drawn. But they did a good enough job to where you can see it. But the upside-down crosses are all over the place and all that, but the letter T is right there in the middle. And when the red sash comes down, it hits the altar in the Vatican, or in all the Catholic churches that do this, but in the witch, it's just blood coming down, and the blood runs across the altar. And that's what the red sash is for, or the silk. So, everyone knows about how witches create what they call magic potions in their cauldrons. And so, again, the author of the study should have gone a little deeper in commenting on this, or better yet, not commented on it at all. Still, it did offer us the opportunity to study it up a little more anyway, so as to see how the prophecy was fulfilled regarding how Rome uses the drugs today in the same way a witch used it in the past. All they need to do is to get you to drink, and depending upon what potion the witch used, they could make people experience just about any hallucination they deem necessary. And you don't even have to drink it. You can eat something with it in there, or many of them use powder and mists. They can put the potion in a little mist and like squeeze it like an atomizer thing, because they had atomizers back then. They didn't have the bottles with the handles on them where you squeeze them and mist your plants. No. But they had something similar, like a little atomizer they call for, like perfume. You just push it out. You could do it that way. And you do that in someone's face while they're breathing in? Yeah. You just dose them, and there's nothing they could do to stop it, and they're going to have hallucinations. And now the witch becomes very powerful in their eyes because they're seeing something that's not really there. But it is really there because of the demonic influence. And one last thing. For those that don't think Rome is still using the drugs today, check out my Big Pharma and Rome page when you get time. And for those listening on the radio, just go to remedygod.org/revelation18.23.htm. But I want to read you something from there because this does it does pertain to what this particular study is on today. It's an article that came out in June of 2012, as a matter of fact, where it states. Well, here, let me just I'm going to go there real quick, and I actually have the definition for the word pharmakia. Comes off as sorcery in the old English of King James. The two basic definitions are sorcery and witchcraft, and some of the definitions, number one, is called the use of the administration of drugs. Number two, poisoning. Number three, sorcery, magical arts. You see how they mix the two? They just call it sorcery or magical arts. The only way it becomes magical arts is if someone's been dosed. Because these witches really don't have any powers unless they really delve into Satanism, and then they can do conjurings before the eyes of even non-believers. Of their craft. And so, but then the only way to actually get it to work is the dosing thing. This is one of the reasons for their potions. I mean, you don't just take a potion and, and then think that your magical, your incantation is going to work from the wand that you use that's made out of Hollywood. That's why Hollywood is called Hollywood. It's all deception. And, but anyway, June 29th, 2012, I'm going to read this to you. Headline. Historic criminal conspiracy case against the Vatican and Crown of England in the Federal Court of Canada. And it was posted out on salem-news.com, of all places, where the witch trials were. So it's a class action suit. First of its kind. But out of Toronto, Canada, it says this. A joint media release by the Association of Citizens Prosecutors, which is EACP, and the Internal Tribunal into the Crimes of Church and State is to be released on Canada Day on July 1st, 2012. It announces the first class action suit or lawsuit in Canadian history to the name as co-defendants, the Vatican and the Crown of England, Canada and its churches, and big pharmaceutical companies, all of which are accused of crimes against humanity and criminal conspiracy. And then going down further in the article, it says, victims of church, state, and big pharma are finally uniting to put an end to the terror, said Kevin Annett today. And then it says, more than 50,000 murdered children will finally be confronting Canada and the Catholic, Anglican, and United Church and placing them all on trial. And so I don't know why they called it that way, but that's among their plaintiffs, I guess, and they're assuming to... they're going to resurrect the kids, but, see, these people don't understand the state of the dead either. But the fact of the matter remains that the Vatican is and has always been involved in the art of sorcery. And they used it an awful lot in the early stages of the Inquisition, as well as when they were trying to convince kings and queens or whatnot, and that especially after the Jesuits came into power and they were formed. They used a lot of the poisons. I mean, to this day, they're still killing people. Look what just happened with Yasser Arafat. He was killed. He was poisoned right after he did the public proclamation of accepting the Pope as his moral leader by kissing his ring on camera. And I got a clip of that and put it in one of my newsletters years ago when they did that. But praise God that what happened a few years ago actually happened because... And this happens to me a lot. I'll get people that'll email me and, and send a picture of some guy with a tinfoil hat on or something and say, you need to get this or need to get, they're all calling me an idiot or a nutcase. Like with the 501c3 when I was saying that the SDA church involved itself in creating the image of the beast like all the other churches did. And they laughed and they laughed and laughed. Well, now all the laughing has stopped because especially what happened, 16 days ago when Bush did, or not Bush, but Putin. Actually, probably it was Putin involved in it because what Trump is doing. But what Trump did And then what he said before the election in regards to the 501c3. And so now the laughing has stopped there. But the laughing stopped a few years ago in regards to my comments about Yasser Arafat and the Pope and the act of worship that he did on camera before all the world, and how after he died, I put it out there that it appeared to me that he died in a very convenient manner, because his peaceful statements, so, you know, and he tried his best, but his peaceful statements towards the Islamic end of things wasn't on the table for Rome at that time. And so they had to get him out of the picture, but they had to get him on camera doing the act of worship so as to have that much more control over the Islamic hordes that are now killing Christians one every 2 minutes, just like they did during the Inquisition. And so they had to get him out of the way, because he would have spoke out against all that they're doing. Ever since he died, the martyrdoms of Christians went off the chart. Ever since he died, I don't know if people didn't notice that, but I did, and that's why I mentioned that it looks like he was poisoned. Well, a couple 3 years ago, something came out in the news, and I can't remember which article I found it in. It could have been WorldNet Daily or Breitbart or someplace else, but there was scuttlebutt that they believe Yasser Arafat was poisoned. So they actually made a public statement that they were going to exhume his body, and they did. They got his body out of the grave to do another autopsy to find out if, in fact, he was poisoned. But now here's the problem. This is where you can see the control they have over the media as well. They never released the findings, as far as I know. They never released them. Because I was sitting there, you know, on the edge of my chair waiting on that release. And so we have what we have in Scripture. We have what we have in Christ because we are obedient. And so when you are obedient, you're going to have this kind of information placed before you by the Lord. And so our duty is plain. We have to go out and proclaim these things. And this is what we do. And yeah, they're going to laugh. Well, laugh all they want. The laughing eventually stops. I've seen it at least a dozen times in just in the last 5 or 6 years alone. And so, but the fact of the matter is, Babylon has fallen in a very moral way. And the reason, like, and I think I stated this in the last study as well on question number 14, why does the prophecy say that Babylon falls twice? Is because of what I believe happened with the SDA church now, and the Protestant churches for that matter, because of what happened after the Great Reformation, wherein the Church of Rome infiltrated to try to do the Counter-Reformation. And then you saw what happened. What was it 2 years ago? Does anybody know? I have it on the site. I did a video about it, as a matter of fact, as well. But so much is happening now, it's kind of hard to keep track of the years. But Kenneth Copeland got on camera with the Pope and declared the protest is over because one part of the 95 thesis was put down and agreed upon. But what about the other 94? They don't mention that. But thousands of Pentecostal pastors on camera declared themselves Roman Catholic that day. And so we know what we're looking at here. We're seeing just a formation of the troops that are going to stand in Armageddon to come against us, because we have the truth. And so be it. Let them do what they think they can do. But anyway, I was going to go into, the next question. But if I do, we're going to be way over. Because the next question, it says, what 3 additional charges are laid against her? And that being, of course, the Babylonian church, and how her fruits are now seen in all the other churches. And this includes the Ninth Hour Church of the SDAs. Because they've got dozens of churches that keep Sunday holy. They got pastors declaring it's no big deal to keep Sunday holy. I made a video literally about that, and more or less that's the title of my video, where an SDA says it's no big deal. I just quoted them, is all I did, which keeps you away from trouble because they try to go after you with the copyright thing. But the immoral decadence of Rome has spewed into all the churches now, to where they all of them, declare Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, women can be pastors. As a matter of fact, a woman that became pastor in the SDA church recently just stepped down as pastor because she decided to divorce her husband and marry her lesbian lover. And so it has gotten, it's just Babylon has fallen, and again, it has fallen again, because all the churches have fallen in a big way, except the remnant of her seed. And that's what we're standing here for today. And this is why they're angry with us, and that's why the enemy makes war. It says in the prophecy in Revelation 12:17 that he's angry, of course, at the woman. because of what she did during the ninth hour. The woman is the church, of course. He's making war with us because we're going forward with the calling or the present truth. And so keep up the good work, everybody. But at the same time, don't sit back any, especially what happened 16 days ago. We all know. I'll finish with this because, like I said, I don't want to go over. I don't want to go into the next one. But what happened, and I want to make this clear because this is a very big flag on the road to the second coming of Christ. And they have to enforce the mark. And the only way to enforce the mark is to get religious laws, the ability to lobby religious law. We saw what happened on March 7, 2006, when George W. Bush signed it into law that all the 501c3 churches, which is joining your church with a state, which means you've created an image of the beast, can then become, they were considered official government agencies with the ability to lobby religious law. But still, the pastors didn't do anything with it. Because they're fearful, because their preachers are filthy lucre. They don't even keep Sabbath. The majority of them don't. And the ones that claim they do break it, in all sorts of strange ways, but they won't break it in front of the congregations, of course, because they want to keep the moral authority intact. But they were fearful. They didn't want to go forward and proclaim political statements from their pulpits because they still had a connection with the IRS, with the 501c3. Even though they were already given a presidential seal of approval to go forward and do it anyway. And so that's why I said what I said 9 months before, or 9 months, or ten, well, no, it's probably a year now, because when Trump said what he said 9 months before he got elected, I think it was 9 months, about the 501c3, I said, no, he's not going to remove it. He will change it, though. He will make it to where they can speak politically, but he has to keep it intact because the prophecy must be fulfilled. They have to remain a church and state, and it has to be given its life. And it was given its life on March 7, 2006, but then it was given power 16 days ago for the pastors. And so we got to let the people know they got to get out of those churches, because I did a video as well on that in regards to how the churches are being watched. All the ones with a 501c3, all their members, their names are in the IRS offices. That's just part of the deal. You get a 501c3, all your congregants, everybody that donates to you has to be on record with the IRS. That way they can tax you and whatever else, but more or less watch you. And some people laughed at that too, but, let them laugh. We got the documentation on anyway. But yeah, what happened 16 days ago is going to make it childishly easy for them to push for religious laws. And then the moral fall of Babylon will become very, very visible to every eye that has the ability to see and every heart that has the ability to, make the Heavenly Father smile. We're going to go forth. And when we do, pray for each other. Pray for that latter rain to fall on us more abundantly. Keep the hedge of angels around us, because the attack is on, and in a big way. And I'm not going to go into details as how what's going on, but it's getting very intense, especially for those of us that are on the front line. And so with that said, I hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.